There are six cars and a caravan in the front yard of the Tetleys' house. The humble Tetleys, who don't get too many visitors. If they had neighbours, they'd be craning their necks over fences. But they haven't had neighbours in years, nor very good fences, for that matter. From above, there's no order to the picture. People pile out of cars, some clutching flowers, others holding plates stacked with almond biscuits and cream-filled cannoli. The sound of wailing drifts over the tin roof. Your sister gets her hands stuck in her pearls as she waves them about. Pearls ping down the garden path, roll in the gutter, fall down the drain. Your niece slips on them, your dad tries to grab her elbow. Down they go, into the orange gravel dust. Some of the visitors are inside now, flapping those hands and filling the kitchen with noise. Your children climb out of corners, peer around door frames, and one climbs right out of the living room window. Your sister, Lisa, is holding shortbread biscuits to their lips, but they blink at her with tight-shut mouths. You watch your father hug your daughter close. He never seemed that tender, back when you were young. The only language he spoke was botany, and so you learned, fast, a small child reciting scientific names. Rose is thinking about how you didn't stick around for this bit, nicked off before your own family arrived from Perth. This is the part no one considers, when the life has ended, but the chaos continues. You drift up above the carries and turn, look back down. Your husband, Eddie, is making a noise that makes everyone else close their eyes. You remember when you first saw him, crouched over a bucket at Emu Point. A boy in a blue flannelette shirt. He was calling out to his friends over on the rocks. He heard his mate shout something back, and the boy in blue stuck his head in the bucket. Got about a dozen whiting and a couple of herring. His voice echoed round the red plastic. Hi, you said. He looked up then, smiled shyly. His eyes were the same colour as his shirt. You reckon you knew, even then. Just as you held your hand out, the other fisherman plonked his bucket down on the jetty. He was wearing a red flannel in the same checkered print. Hey lady, I'm Bert, he said, and he took your hand and shook it. You'd never been touched by a Noongar before. Eleanor, he said, and he winked. Blue Shirt bit his lip, chuckled softly and elbowed his mate out of the way. Eddie. You remember his hand was calloused, tacky with salt and fish bits. Those calloused hands were heavy and warm, made of the earth. Hands that grounded you, held you, tickled your children, lifted their chins to the stars, traced your lips, shook the soft, cold hands of doctors, trembled as they held your test results, did their best to keep you here, were laid gently on your heart as it beat its final dance. Now those hands are clenched, open, shut, open, shut, open, shut, open, shut, open, shut. Chest heaving and knees wobbling. There are Christmas carols playing faintly on the radio. Your eldest, Steve, is smacking Eddie's back as if the grief sound is a cough that can be beaten away. He's brown and square as the paddocks, and his hair carries licks of sunshine. Steve filled your belly when you were young and times were different. When you, Eddie and Bert rented a room in a fishing shack by the sea from an old lady who told you, God speaks louder on the waves than from the altar. You studied for your teaching certificate at an old wooden desk with second-hand books and scratchy pens, while Eddie and Bert stood knee-deep in water, casting line after line. They came home with buckets of fish and salt in their hair. Your belly grew and your family shook their heads, looked down their noses at you, a long highway and 5 hours' drive away. When times were hard, you heeded the old woman. You sat beside Eddie in his little boat and you found God on the waves. Is that where you'll find him now? Joe is dunking tea bags in scalding water. A different cut, this one. The peace and calm inside a storm of Tetley kids. He came not long after you moved to the farm, to the cottage still smelling of fresh paint, unpacked boxes. The bees told you he was coming. You were out at the hive with Auntie, collecting honey. They'd never been as flighty as they were that day, buzzing at your wrists, getting in your ears. Today, 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 they seemed to hum. The bees chased you back to the house, bumping into your back and tapping at your ankles. Auntie washed honey from her hands, held them to your forehead, rubbed your temples. An ache, a pulse, a funny feeling in your belly that he'd be joining you soon. And then there he was, without a fuss, you on your back in the bath and his head landing neatly in Eddie's hands. The three of you in the warm water, steam and blood and love. Then Frank, your lovable little villain, he came on the eve of a hot summer storm. Late, grisly, after a 7-hour labour. Auntie sang songs while the lightning lit the sky. The worst pregnancy and yet the most beautiful baby. Unpredictable, from tantrum to tender love, his hand gripping your finger or locks of his own dark curls. Always jumping off things, breaking things, loud and temperamental like the storm that brought him in, but the giver of laughs and the bravest of the lot. That kid won every race he ever ran, could do anything he put his mind to, but losing you has stopped him believing. Rose is standing with your father. They're leaning on each other, wordlessly taking in all the noise around them. She came exactly 1 year after Frank, another summer storm. The tin roof cracked with the heat and rain beat the windows. Eddie had the record player in the bathroom. Hours and hours he flipped the vinyl, dropped the needle. Auntie sang sweetly while you clenched and relaxed. Just as Billie Holiday's Moon Glow began to spin, Rose started to crown. Right from the beginning, she talked, softly to herself, as if she was figuring everything out, humming and da-da-dumming, tapping her fingers on her knees. Frank was glued to her, his almost twin sister, with eyes and hair like him. They grew up leaning towards each other, partners in crime. Your littlest one was a miracle, born when you were told you had 2 years left. Well, you squeezed out another 5. Albie took his first breath in hospital, under those fluorescent lights. Too risky at home, with the potential complications, and without the help of Auntie. The anxiety of sickness was born into him, disguised by the light of hope. He cried whenever away from your bosom, was clingy and colicky. But the sweet, caring soul in him, he did his best. They all did. Look at them now. Your sister is walking down the hallway towards your door, but your kids won't have a bar of it. They aren't ready to share what's left of you. It's Rose who notices first. She's down the hallway in a flash, arms folded, chin jutting out. No. Rose, love, out the way. Lisa's not messing around. You can see the grief in the squint of her eyes. She always got mean when she was sad. No. Move. No. Suddenly Frank's beside her, hooking his elbows out defensively. You can't go in, he says, with a voice that wants to sound strong but cracks in the middle. Rose leans her back against the door, folds her arms across her chest, screams for Eddie. Screams and screams and screams for him. Then there's Joe scurrying down the hallway with his glasses slipping down his nose. Steve barreling through like he's in a rugby match, throwing your dad and brother-in-law out of his path. And Eddie, walking as if the hallway is made of shards of glass, wincing with every step. He sees the kids, a human barricade against your bedroom door. You can't go in, he says, in a voice hoarse from grief sounds. It's a surprise to hear him speak up. He was always quiet with your family. Up above the treetops, you smile. Don't you be so self, Lisa starts. No, repeats Eddie, not yet. Everything is hushed except the sound of your mother wailing in the lounge room. Eleanor, Eleanor, Eleanor. A nearby pink and grey starts up a screech along with her. There's a silent moment, sucked in breaths, then... Fuck off, says Frank. Your sister slaps him. The sound echoes into the evening, startling the pink and grey galah overlooking the scene alongside you. The sun is setting low over the paddocks, and now you have to turn away, because the moment unfolds and caves in on itself, the endless tug of war of time. Down there, they're hurting, wailing, hitting, crying, shouting, struggling, silent. It's about you, but it's also about them. About everything that has ever led them to this moment. Everything they're carrying on their backs and in their hearts. You touch them gently, one by one, each of them hurting from different places, all of them loving you. Then, just as Eddie stands at the kitchen sink, holds a glass of water to his lips and catches your reflection in the window, you're gone.